Well, hello. It's Dawn Sarah with Sex Gets Real, and guess what? We flew past 500,000 downloads. I'm using we collectively, like all of us, all of you listening and downloading, and the podcast is now past 500,000 total downloads. And May was record-breaking. We did 99,053 downloads in May. And I think for June, we're actually going to hit six figures, 100,000 downloads for June. So fingers crossed. But I wanted to celebrate. 500,000 downloads is amazing. And at this rate, we're going to fly past 1,000,000 in just the next couple of months. So I am going to do a big celebratory 500,000 downloads giveaway. And I'm running it online for 1 week. There's all these different ways that you can enter to win. And the prize is amazing. I'm going to be giving away one Enjoy 11. And for those of you that know toys, this is such an incredible toy. It is this massive, beautiful, 11 inches long stainless steel device. And it's 2 inches in diameter. It is hefty as fuck. It's almost 3 pounds of just solid stainless steel. And it's gorgeous. It has one end that is smooth and another end that has kind of some little like ridges on it. It comes with a leather carrying case, and it's one of the most beautiful erotic devices on the market. It retails for $310, and this is just one of those things where it's for anybody. You can stick it in any hole, and if you're not interested in sticking it in a hole, you can give it away as an amazing gift or use it as a paperweight. That gets all kinds of people talking. Put it on your coffee table to like hold down your books. I mean, there's so many things. So yeah, the Enjoy 11. The giveaway is running from June 4th through June 12th. So you need to get on this as soon as possible. Go to sexgetsreal.com for all of the details. I have a page dedicated just to this giveaway. There are some restrictions on where I can mail this toy. So be sure to check out the list of countries that are eligible. Of course, United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. I think everyone in the European Union are eligible. There are a couple of countries in the Middle East and Southeast Asia that don't allow for the importing of sexual devices. So unfortunately, if you're in one of those locations, because we have huge international listener base, you might not be eligible to receive it. But still take a look at it. There's tons of ways to enter to win. And a couple of the entries you can do more than once so that you can really increase your opportunities for winning. And I want you to win this Enjoy 11. I don't even have one. I've seen it at conferences. I've held it. I've lovingly caressed it. A friend of mine got it and said that it totally changed her life. It's been on my wish list forever. But I want to treat you to this before I treat myself, because I would not have opened up my tracker and seen that we flew past 500,000 downloads if it wasn't because of you. And so this is my way of saying thank you. And I also just want to let you know, when the podcast goes past 1,000,000 total downloads, I already have my eye on a delicious, sexy device that has 24 karat gold. And it's beautiful. It's worth like $400. And I feel like that's going to happen in just a couple of months. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for telling your friends and sharing and making this one of the most popular podcasts on Spotify. I'm right next to Dan Savage, which is incredible. And I want to make this episode just for you and for me. And even though I have some fucking phenomenal interviews lined up for the next couple of weeks, I thought this is such a huge milestone. And so many of you have either been with us from the beginning or you're fairly new to listening and you've been just like binge listening. I've been getting so many social media comments and emails from those of you who just recently found the show and you've been binge listening to all like 100 episodes in a couple of weeks. So thank you so much. So don't forget sexgetsreal.com. Check out all the details on the contest. It only runs through June 12th. And again, there are a couple of limitations about where I can send the toy, but go there, check it out, enter to win, tell everybody. I mean, you can share this with your family and your friends, even if they don't listen to the podcast, they can enter to win as well. So if you've got more people in your household who maybe aren't Sex Gets Real fans, let them know about it so that you can get this amazing Enjoy 11 in your house. I'll just say it's literally a weapon because it's so big and heavy. So please don't bludgeon anybody with it. One other thing. I had a call earlier today with the creators of this new sex game. It's on Kickstarter. It's going to be around until June 18th, and it's called Weapons of Mass Seduction. One of the co-creators of this game is also the co-creator of Cards Against Humanity. So I talked to Daniel and Caitlin, and they are putting so much work into this game, and it's all around helping people to learn how to talk about sex in a way that's gamified. So it's really fun and easy, and there's all kinds of cards you can fill in, and they're trying to make it as inclusive as possible so the cards aren't very gendered, and they have plans for a BDSM extension pack, and they're working on instructions for non-monogamous folks and for group play, and I completely fell in love with them and this game that they've created. So I have a link up on sexgetsreal.com for this episode if you want to check it out and back them. There's still a little bit of time left, and I personally cannot wait to play the game. Let's dive in to some questions. There are so many questions and so many emails. I'm now going to be doing a weekly blog response, so check that out at Sex Gets Real as well. There's going to be a weekly advice column where I pick one question that's in the queue and answer it on the blog, and I'll be adding video element to that soon too. So yeah, just like lots of stuff in the works. First email. Got an email from Cromulent that just says, "Dawn, I loved hearing Prescott on your podcast. I've seen Foreplay a couple of times, and it is so much fun. I'm really enjoying your show, and I'm working my way through all of the old episodes. Dave." Thank you so much, Dave. I'm glad that you enjoyed Prescott. Prescott is actually helping me with a little special project right now behind the scenes, so he's delightful, and I'm glad you enjoyed hearing him. If anybody is near Baltimore, be sure to check out his show Foreplay. Okay, I got an email from Britt, and the subject is a little taste. And it says, "Hey there, I just started listening to podcasts and I'm so excited I discovered yours. I started all the way from the beginning and sitting at my desk, I am binging your podcasts. About a year ago, my husband introduced me to pegging. At first, I was taken aback. I tried it, of course, but it wasn't really my thing the first few times. Now I'm starting to love it even more because we've been working up to more and more. I'm not sure if you've covered this yet in any podcast because I'm still only on about episode 23, but I wanted to ask while it's on my brain. Since I'm getting more and more kinky, I want to start tossing my husband's salad, but I can't get past the bacteria part of it. I have had H. pylori, and ever since, I can't get over the poop bacteria in my mouth thing. So I just want to toss his salad already. After listening to the podcast with Lance Hart telling how to do the enemas, that's definitely something that is going to be a huge help. But if you have any other advice to help me get over my fear of poop in my mouth, it would be a super huge help. Thanks, Britt." I think this is such a common concern for so many people. You know, I mean, the number one question people have when they're first starting to explore anal is like, "I'm afraid of poop." And I think that Lance Hart interview is so great because he was just so upfront about, you know, anytime you're doing anal sex, anal play, anything, there's all kinds of things you can do to help minimize the chances of a mess, but you're still playing with somebody's butt, you know, and it's just like if I played with your nose a whole bunch, the likelihood that I'd get a little bit of snot on my finger, even if you blew your nose really good beforehand, is, you know, very likely. Enemas can really help. Just remember, if you're going to be buying those Fleet enemas from, like, your local drugstore, that you empty out what's in them and just put warm water inside, because the Fleet enemas come with a laxative. So if you're using an enema because you're constipated, that's one thing. But if you're using the enema to help cleanse out the lower part of your colon for anal play, and if you're using that enema to, like, cleanse yourself in preparation for anal play, the last thing you want is something that's going to make you poop more. So empty out what comes in those bottled enemas and use warm water, or buy yourself a little enema kit if anal play is something you do really regularly. Don't enema right beforehand. Make sure you enema and then give yourself an hour or two. And yeah, when it comes to putting your mouth on any body part, you know, there's a likelihood that fluid or poop or blood or whatever it is might get in your mouth. You can always investigate trying barriers. I know a lot of folks who use Saran wrap. You want to make sure it's not the microwavable kind, because that has little holes in it. You just want the, like, plain, clear, non-fancy Saran wrap. Lots of sex educators that I know use those as barriers, because you can get a much wider area than the little dental dams or, like, cutting open a condom. And sensation goes through that, warmth and sensation go through Saran wrap really well, especially if you add a little bit of lube to the part that's going to touch somebody's skin. So that's one thing to do. If you really want to put your mouth or your tongue on someone's anus, Saran wrap is a terrific way to still have really delicious, sensitive sensation and not have any kind of transmission of bodily fluids or bacteria. The other option is to just know that if you're doing the enema and then maybe you shower together right beforehand, maybe use some baby wipes to just really get the area nice and clean, and then start with your fingers, put a little lube on your fingers and just really massage the area, and then go in with your mouth, the likelihood of you, after taking those steps, really having any kind of massive issue is very small. And like any sexual activity, we have to go in knowing that there's a small risk. And so we just want to be risk aware. Like, what's the level of risk that you're willing to take on this? If you really, really, really want to do analingus and eat his ass out because it's sexy and hot and it feels really good, try it with the Saran wrap and a little bit of lube first, just so that you can kind of get used to it and see how that feels for you. And then make sure that the two of you are incorporating the acts of the enema and the showering into something that's part of the play as anticipation and buildup. I think that'll just kind of help with the nerves and the concern. And then decide if that's a leap that you want to take. You don't have to without the barrier, but if you really want to do it without the barrier, then just try taking those additional steps of doing the enema, waiting a little while, hopping in the shower, giving yourselves a nice scrub, then give it a go and see what you think. You know, if you do it a time or two and you just keep freaking out, then maybe that's not an activity for you. Or maybe you do it a time or two and you realize, no, this is really hot and the way he reacts to me is totally amazing, and this is a risk that I am totally not worried about now because we're taking all of these steps, and then go for it. But yay for pegging, and yay for exploring your kinky side and doing delicious things to your husband's ass. I am such a fan. And thank you so much for listening, Britt. I hope that was helpful. And I'm going to have a couple of experts over the next couple of months who know some stuff about anal play. And of course, Sarah and Brian were on a couple of months ago. You may not have heard that episode yet from yaysex.ca, but we did talk a lot about anal play in that episode. So check that out too. But thank you for writing in. Okay, I got an email from Cass with a fat ass. And the subject is can't stop listening. Hi, my name is Cassidy, and I'm an 18-year-old girl. I came across your podcast on Spotify about a month ago. I thought I'd give it a listen, and now I can't stop fucking listening. I started with the most recent episode at the time and have been going backwards, and I sure do wish I'd started from episode 1 so I could listen in order. I just finished episode 82, and now I'm deciding to go all the way back to episode 1. From listening to you, I already feel so much more comfortable sexually, and I feel so educated about cocks and pussy. Not to mention, I feel much more experimental and playful when having sex with my boyfriend. So thank you for creating this beautiful, funny, educational podcast to entertain me throughout school and driving, and even while getting ready early in the morning. P.S. I always catch myself laughing with you, Dawn, as if I'm there with you talking, and I love it. Aw, thank you so much for writing in, Cass. I love that you're loving the podcast. I love that you're feeling more comfortable with experimenting and getting playful. And that's the whole point of the podcast. So thank you so much. Got an email just a couple of days ago that I just wanted to mention because it's something I'm aware of. And I really appreciate all of you as I've been going through this transition without Dylan. So Audiophile wrote in saying that they were frustrated with the recent sound levels. And I just want to really put it out there that for almost 2 years, Dylan and I recorded together, and I don't know, about 6 months in, we set up a full sound studio at Dylan's house, and we have all of this amazing equipment that we invested in, and Dylan, who was a former DJ, did such an amazing job in getting our whole setup together, and then when Dylan had to leave the show, and oh, she sends her love, by the way, she's like eyeball deep in training for her new job, but I've been sending messages along to her that you've been sending, and she loves it. I had to move the whole sound studio to a new location after she left, and because of that, I'm having to use a new computer, and some of the settings I'm still kind of trying to fiddle with. So there have been a couple of interviews I know where the sound between me and the person I was interviewing was pretty different. You know, their voice was really soft and mine was very loud. And so I just want to thank all of you for being patient with me as I've kind of navigated this transition without Dylan. I think I've got everything figured out. So I do still have a couple of interviews that are recorded a couple of weeks ago, and the sound on those still isn't exactly what I want. But looking ahead, I think that with some new tweaks and some new equipment, you're going to be hearing much better quality. I think I've finally figured it out. So I just want to thank all of you for being patient. I've been feeling really self-conscious about that. And so when I got this email the other day, it just kind of made me cringe. And I know that the change for so many reasons has been, you know, difficult for all of us in different ways. And I just want to say, like, thank you so much for continuing to listen and for supporting me and knowing there's just going to be kind of some like little road bumps along the way as we figure this out. So thank you, Audiophile, for writing in and just kind of confirming how I was feeling about some of the episodes, but things are getting much better, and I've consulted with a podcast expert and made a couple of changes, and I think everyone's going to feel much better about some of the quality. And of course, the Lance Hart interview that's way back in the beginning of the podcast is one that I still love because the content was so amazing and Lance was so generous, but the sound quality on that interview is so horrible. But I think the content was so good that we just had to publish it. And so, you know, it's just part of being a podcaster and interviewing people who don't have sound studios on their end. And yeah, just like, thank you for your support. And I know sometimes the sound quality isn't terrific, but hopefully the content is really good. And we'll just continue growing and tweaking. And as I get bigger and as the show gets more popular, there's going to be more and more opportunities for better equipment and different sound studios and all kinds of stuff. I got this amazing question. I have so many questions that I really want to get to, and that's one of the reasons why I started the weekly blog. But this one just like tickled me pink, and so I'm kind of bumping it up to the top of the queue and answering it today. And it comes from Vegan Pain Slut, which makes me super happy. All of the links are going to be on sexgetsreal.com for episode 112 because I'm about to mention a whole bunch of them. So, Vegan Pain Slut wrote in with a question about BDSM supplies. And it says, "Hey there, gorgeous Dawn." Aww. I'm blushing. And I love it. Okay. "I cannot say how much I love the podcast. It's such a brilliant resource for the world. I have 6,000,022 questions that I need to ask you, but priorities. My cis male partner and I, cis female, are super kinky and have recently discovered that both of us are into way more hardcore stuff than we could have anticipated. It's this amazing voyage of pleasurable and painful discovery, and we're loving every second. However, both of us being vegan, we've hit upon a major problem in acquiring equipment, toys, and general fun stuff. Some of the recommendations you've supplied in the past have been great, but we hit the eternal problem on the companies being in the US and we're in the UK. We and our orgasms would be so, so grateful if you could point us in the direction of some retailers that we could check out. Thank you so much if you're able to help. You're a sensational human, and long distance love to Dylan, who's very missed. All my love and sexy cuddles." Yes. Okay, vegan and BDSM can be really tough, especially if you want high quality. There are some vegan products that come out of places like China, so they're very cheap, which means, well, they're easy on the wallet, but often it means that after a couple of uses, they start falling apart. And when you're right in the middle of taking a riding crop to somebody's sensitive bits or paddling the hell out of their ass, the last thing you want is like the whole thing bending or the handle flying off. And so, yeah, finding something that's quality and that's vegan can be really challenging. But lucky for you, I found some awesome resources of places that are in the UK. And if anybody is in any other location, a lot of these places do online orders. So if you're in Europe in general, these might be some really good places for you to check out. So the first is Edge Play, and the website is edgeplay.co.uk. They aren't exclusively vegan, but they do have a lot of products that are non-leather. They have some impact toys that are made out of paracord, all kinds of heavy restraints that are made out of metal. They have, I mean, you said you were getting into some kinky, painful stuff, and Edge Play definitely fits the bill for that. They've got a whole medical play section with gynecological play, sounds, catheters, needles, sutures, cupping. If you're into body mods, they have branding, body modification, scalpels. For BDSM toys, they've got whips and floggers, CBT, cock and ball torture, clamps, pet play, knives, sensation play, all kinds of stuff. So they have a really big mix of products. They also have kind of a family of stores. So Edge Play is kind of the main one, but then there's also impact-toys.com, which is an expanded range of floggers, whips, and dragon tails. And then they have dswhips.co.uk. And those are exclusively single tail whips. At the single tail whip place, because having now played with a single tail a couple of times, I am really liking that. But there is a veggie whips section under the DS Whips. They don't have any products currently there, but they do have a section for it. So it's worth reaching out to them. And then the Impact Toys, they have some paracord whips and some floggers that are made out of products other than leather. They also have a custom section, so you could potentially ask or request for a custom product. So I think that starting with Edge Play might be a really, really great place to go. There is a place called Jack's Floggers. He's based out of the UK and he makes rubber floggers. So those are going to have some more sting to them, but that is an option for some floggers that aren't made out of suede or leather. So check out Jack's Floggers. Also, there's a place called Trust, T-R-U-S-S-E-D, as in like trust up. So Trust UK. they have all kinds of different BDSM products, and they definitely had a couple of items that were non-leather. So they had a steel cane and a barbed wire lash and a ball and chain flogger that was made out of chain and stainless steel. There's some rubber dipped cord floggers and whips. So definitely a lot of options there for vegan play. And then Kinkclusive, which you can find at vegan-kink.com. The entire website is vegan kink stuff. Now, I tried to check out their Facebook page, and it hasn't really been updated since 2014, but they do have a FetLife profile. And so if you look for vegan-kink.com, they are based out of the UK. Everything that they have restraints, chastity, cuffs, clamps, cock rings, collars, gags and hoods, impact toys, insertables, safer sex items like condoms and dental dams. Everything that they have is cruelty free. So I think that might be a fantastic resource. So there are options. You just have to kind of look a little bit harder. But I'm so glad that you are finding a way to navigate your delicious pain slut kinky self and maintaining your vegan, cruelty-free, ethical ideals and trying to find a way to make that work. So hopefully one or a couple of those companies in the UK will have stuff that will help you and your partner to be deliciously kinky and painful and naughty without having to use anything that's made out of an animal. If any listeners are in the UK and know of other shops or resources that have vegan and cruelty-free BDSM products, feel free to write in or to tweet at Sex Gets Real on Twitter, and I will make sure I pass that along. So hopefully that was helpful. This next question came in about a week ago, and I get lots of incredible questions and comments from all of you. I love them. I want more. If you're listening, that means you. Feel free to send your questions in. And all of the questions that I get, for the most part, tend to be questions that I'm just like, I'm chomping at the bit to answer, or it sends me off to try and find an expert. For instance, I just got this wonderful email from a female to male trans person who was looking for some support. And so I reached out to Buck Angel, and Buck is traveling right now, but he said that when he gets back, he's going to reach out. So hopefully I'll have Buck on the show in the next couple of weeks. So one of the things I love about the questions that you send to me is it gives me a way to then reach out to other people in the industry and in the world who are doing incredible work. But sometimes a question just like really hits me and I can't stop thinking about it. And this next question is one of those. So I'm going to read it and then kind of just like verbal vomit, all the things. This email came from Donkey Punch, and the subject is relationship help. First off, I love your podcast, and I've been listening to it for about a month now, so keep up the good work. Here's the problem. Me and my girlfriend love each other very much. We're both in high school. She's a year older than me, and we make it work. The problem is that I feel like second best. Compared to her other boyfriends, I feel like I'm a loser. But she says I'm the best boyfriend she's ever had. It's kind of hard to believe that, though. When we have sex, I feel like she's not enjoying it. Either she feels like I'm not putting in the work, or maybe my dick is too small. She says she loves the size of my dick, but it's just hard to believe. I do last longer than her other boyfriends. I can go for 1 or 2 hours, so I have that, but please help me with this problem. This touched me so much because I think one of the, well, one, being young, so this listener is very young, there's so much misinformation about sex in the world, and often we don't really start figuring out what our truth is when it comes to sex and relationships and what we bring to the table until we've navigated a lot of circumstances that give us a chance to like practice and learn and grow. And so that means that time and experience are a big part of what we end up bringing to the table as we get older. So when you're 18 years old, you're trying to kind of navigate these new relationships that are relatively new and these sexual experiences that are relatively new. And the sex education that you've probably gotten has been totally shitty. You're basically being set up for failure by our system. You know, unlike the Dutch, we don't talk to our kids about love and consent and communication and bodies starting from the age of 4 or 5. And, you know, we have this very sex negative world where sex education tends to be about diseases and not getting pregnant, nothing about actually relating to others and dealing with rejection and learning how to be confident in what you're bringing to the table. And so I totally just feel the pain and the insecurity in this question. And I think it's so common for all of us to just have some kind of sense that we're not enough or there's something about us that's not lovable. And so I've been carrying this with me for so long. One of the things that I just want to start with to you specifically, Donkey Punch, is trust when you're in a relationship is kind of one of the cornerstones to that relationship working. You know, the Gottman Institute says that if you're building a sound relationship, they compare it to a house. And so they have all these different levels. There's 7 levels in a sound relationship house, things like friendship and intimacy and shared rituals and shared dreams. But the entire house is being held up by 2 walls, and those are trust and commitment. And, you know, we get to define trust and commitment differently for all of us. So if we're in a non-monogamous relationship, commitment will look different than if we're in a monogamous relationship. But trust has to be present for all of these other things that contribute to a thriving relationship to really be present and to really be there. This sounds like there's a total lack of trust. You don't trust yourself and that what you're bringing to the table is something that she would be interested in. And you don't trust her when she says that you're the best boyfriend she's ever had or that she likes the size of your dick. You know, by not believing her, you're basically saying, I don't trust you. And that is really corrosive to relationships. It's going to be really difficult for her to trust you when you aren't trusting her word. And it's also going to be really difficult for her to open up to you and to share things and to have an open dialogue when every time she offers you something, you shut her down or you disbelieve her or you try to tell yourself that what she's telling you isn't true for some reason. And so I think one of the things that you just really need to start with is, what about what she's telling you makes you not believe her? Is it because she says these things, but then her behavior doesn't support that? Then I think that's a discussion that you need to have. Or is she telling you these things, but because you feel insecure and you feel like you don't have enough to bring to the table, you just don't, you can't believe her. And then that means that that's something that you need to work on for yourself. We have to be able to trust our partners when they share something with us. Otherwise, it's just this recipe for resentment, and no relationship can thrive in a situation where there's just endless resentment. So maybe the way that she's offering these things to you just really isn't a good fit. You know, all of us like to receive love in different ways, and some of us like compliments and words that make us feel really good. Other people like, you know, acts of service. So doing things for someone makes us feel really loved. So maybe there's something else or a different way that she could demonstrate her appreciation or her enjoyment of you that would make you feel a little bit more supported. But this really comes down to you and you deciding that you do have something to offer. You are bringing something to the table. And when she says that you're the best boyfriend she's ever had, you need to believe that. Unless she's doing something that in some way demonstrates that not to be true. You know, if she says you're the best boyfriend she's ever had, but then she's constantly talking about her other boyfriends in a way that makes you feel put down, yeah, that can be really tough. But if she's saying you're the best boyfriend that she's ever had, and that's just the story she keeps telling you, then you really need to take it on yourself to believe her. And this comes down to feeling vulnerable. So many of us reject the things that our partners appreciate us or tell us, because if we believe them, then we're giving up control and we're opening ourselves up to being hurt. And that is such a difficult, tough, scary thing to do. But the only way you can have that kind of like deep connection that it sounds like you're really wanting is to be vulnerable and to open yourself up to being hurt. And that's just the courage that it takes to be in a relationship where there's a deep connection and a lot of love and a lot of intimacy. And I'm not saying that it's easy. I get scared half to death some days about, you know, Alex waking up one day and deciding he doesn't want to be with me anymore, because that would just hurt me so deeply. But I have to be able to live and tolerate that fear and to continue to open to him and to turn towards him and to trust that he is choosing me. Otherwise, I'm just closing myself off. And it sounds like, Donkey Punch, that's exactly what you're doing, is you're closing yourself off in an attempt to protect yourself. And in doing that, you're actually pushing her away. So it's not easy. And we all fuck up when it comes to this. We all have bad days. We all have insecurities. And, you know, part of being in relationships is getting to practice all this stuff. And so you're definitely not alone. I think it just comes down to, if this is a relationship that you're really excited about and it's a relationship that you really want to work, you're going to have to start believing her when she says these things to you about what she does like and what she does appreciate. And you're going to have to also just accept the fact that it's going to feel scary and you're going to feel vulnerable and unsure. And there's this temptation, I think, for those of us especially that carry insecurity, because I've certainly been there, to just like want constant reassurance that they're not going anywhere. But that's just basically telling your partner, like, I don't trust you, over and over again. And it can be really exhausting for them to feel like, no matter how many times I say this to you, you just won't hear it. And I totally get that, because I ask for reassurance a lot on days when I'm just feeling not very good about myself. So you just really need to kind of do some soul searching of, you know, how can I open myself up to her? And how can I trust that what she's telling me is the truth? And I think the other thing that you really need to stop doing is comparing yourself to past boyfriends. That's a trap that all of us fall into. Comparison is deadly. And we can do that with our friends. We can do that with our siblings. You know, if we compare ourselves to our siblings, it starts to create these really awful feelings about, well, you know, mom and dad like my brother's super sportsy, you know, personality way more than they like my super nerdy personality. Or, you know, wow, my friends must like this person more because they're so much funnier than me. Doing that comparison is really unhealthy and it causes a lot of distress in any relationship. And I mean, I'm saying this to all of you who are listening. You know, if you're 18 years old and in high school and navigating a relationship like this, or you've been married for 40 years and you're in your 60s and your spouse gets a new friend, it's so dangerous to compare yourself to those other people, because there's so much that we don't know about our partner's internal experience. And when you compare yourself to these other people, so Donkey Punch, when you compare yourself to your girlfriend's ex-boyfriends, you're looking at them from your perspective, not from hers. So she may have been with people who had bigger dicks, or she may have been with people who had something that you feel like you don't, but she's drawn to you for very specific reasons. Maybe she feels safer with you. Maybe she feels like she can be more open. Maybe she feels more seen and appreciated. Maybe something about you is just completely magnetic and she loves the smell of your skin, or she loves the way that you listen to her, or she loves the way that you talk to her. And maybe all of those things weren't present with the other boyfriends, but you're not seeing that because you're looking at it from your place of insecurity. And so that can be just like really damaging. So I would also invite you to stop worrying about what she's done in the past and instead focus on what you have now and how to really appreciate that and strengthen it and how what you want to come next. You know, do you want to make sure she feels appreciated? Do you want to make sure that you're exploring, you know, new types of sex together? Do you want to make sure that she feels heard? Do you want to, you know, ask for love and reassurance in a different way? But focus on where you are and what you'd like to create with her instead of looking back and kind of feeling stuck. You know, your girlfriend can't feel appreciated if you're constantly looking back and doing these comparisons, if you're constantly worrying that what she's telling you isn't true. So just really sit with yourself for a couple of minutes and know it's okay to feel insecure. It's okay to feel scared that if you believe her and you start to feel really connected and you start to feel those feelings of love, that yeah, like nothing's guaranteed and that fear is very real. But you also get to choose to not let that control you, and you get to choose to focus on the stuff that is working, and you get to focus on the stuff that you do like, and you get to enjoy the time that you have with her now, because the more you do that, the greater the likelihood is that she's going to want to continue that relationship with you. So I hope that that was really helpful. I want you to know you're so not alone in struggling with this. So many of us have been there in different ways, but, you know, just finding it hard to believe that you're better than, you know, these other people somebody's dated. I mean, all of us kind of struggle with that. I mean, it's so common for people to get really irritated when their partner or their current, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend talk about their exes. It's because we start feeling insecure that maybe they had something we didn't. But that's just a really dangerous spiral to go down. So instead, find ways to trust her and to let her know that you trust her and that you appreciate the things that she's shared with you, and start focusing on what you have and the things that you want more of, because that's what starts to really create a relationship where everybody in the relationship feels valued, and that's what you really want to go for. And I just want to also say that as a high school student, I think that you are so much further ahead of lots of other people that are your age, just in that you're thinking about these things, that you can articulate these concerns and these fears, that you shared them with me and you're asking for help. I mean, I think that speaks so highly to the type of boyfriend that you want to be and the type of relationship that you want with your girlfriend. So keep with the self-inquiry and, you know, be proud of yourself that you were able to share these things and ask for help, because there's a lot of people listening right now who are probably struggling with something and they haven't had the courage to reach out and ask, or they're not ready to actually say these things to themselves and recognize them as a truth. So kudos to you for that. Please write back with an update. I would love to hear how things are going with you and your girlfriend. Hopefully you keep having really terrific sex. And just really quickly, you said that you feel like she's not enjoying sex. You get to ask her what she wants and then ask her how it's going. You know, so if you feel like she's not enjoying it, what if you sat down and said, I want tonight to be all about you. So what would feel really, really good? And then play some of the games that have been mentioned on the podcast before. You know, Victoria Rosa just offered a really terrific game a couple of weeks ago on, you know, letting her kind of dictate exactly what you're doing to her. You get to ask her what her fantasies are. And you might be interpreting her behavior as not enjoying it, but that might be how she demonstrates enjoying it. But try making a night all about her and see what she asks for. And yeah, just like let her experience be true for her and trust her if she says she's enjoying it. And if she doesn't articulate that she's enjoying it, then ask her what she would enjoy and don't get defensive when she actually shares that with you, because her experience is her experience and all you can do is your best. So try having some different conversations. Feel free to share a couple of the podcast episodes with her so that maybe that'll start a conversation. Like listen to the Victoria Rosa episode with her and listen to the games that we talked about and then ask her, hey, do you want to try that? Because there's a lot of partners out there who aren't interested in trying new things and maximizing their partner's pleasure. So the fact that you're asking about it and thinking about it is a wonderful thing. And now all you have to do is involve her in the conversation. So thank you so much for writing in, and I wish you luck. Trust her and have these conversations with her and create something terrific. No matter what, just realize you're in a constant state of learning. All of us are. So embrace that. And I'm so proud of you for writing in. And thank you for listening. I love that you took the time to write in, because your email has been sitting with me for a really long time. So yeah, if anybody has any words of wisdom for Donkey Punch, if you've been there, if you've struggled with those same things and you found a way through it, please write in. You can go to sexgetsreal.com and use the contact us form. And I'm happy to share that or post that for Donkey Punch, because I think that it's just so wonderful that, you know, he's looking at these things. So thank you. Okay, I have time for one more question, and it's about reverse cowgirl. So new cowgirl wrote in, the subject is first time reverse cowgirl. Yay. Okay. The message says, please keep this anonymous. My husband and I have been married for 13 years, and we've been together even longer. I just finished listening to episode 83. The poor woman whose husband only wanted to do reverse cowgirl reminded me of something. About 6 months ago, my husband and I tried reverse cowgirl for the first time ever, and I couldn't go for more than a couple of minutes because I had pretty bad pain. Do you think it's because my body isn't used to being touched in that way, or could there be something wrong? Have you heard any other women complain about that? Thank you so much. Okay. I love this question. And so many of you who listen to the podcast probably know where the answer is going to go. And that is, all of our bodies are different. And so a position that works for 9,999 people might not work for you. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong. It just means your body is different. Also, it could be the curve or the shape of your husband's penis. If your husband has a cock that lays flat against his belly versus a cock that when it's hard maybe points straight up or down a little bit, that's going to totally change the different types of positions that feel good for both of you and the way that it's going to feel when you're in those positions because of the angle of his cock. So the angle of his cock, the way that your body is positioned, also I'll say, how aroused were you? Was your body in a fully aroused state? Had you done lots of foreplay? Was lube involved? You know, were you in a place where your body was really ready to take that in and do something new? Sometimes we get excited about trying something new and we just jump into it without giving ourselves lots and lots of warm up. That, of course, that makes when you have a vulva, being fully aroused, which can take up to 40 minutes, and making sure like your brain and your thoughts are super aroused and your body's really raring to go, that's going to make trying new things and putting things inside you a lot easier. Now, whether or not something's wrong, you know, I'm not a medical expert, so I think that you need to just kind of decide if you feel like there could be something wrong. You know, do you feel like it was an issue with your body, or do you feel like it was lack of arousal, those kinds of things? So I can't answer whether or not there was something wrong, but what I can say is not all bodies can do all positions, and that's super okay. Also, sometimes positions need a couple of times of practicing before you find just the right thing. You know, maybe your husband needs a pillow or two under his hips so that he's at a slightly different angle. Maybe you need to practice leaning forwards or backwards to get an angle that feels just right for you. Maybe the penetration was too deep, and so you need to pull your legs together or, you know, be in a slightly different position so that the penetration's not as deep. So there's lots of different things that you get to play with when it comes to trying sexual positions. And, you know, I think one of the things that gets left out when you see positions guides for intercourse is they don't tell you that mileage may vary depending on the way that your two bodies fit together. You know, a position might sound super hot, but his cock might be not be long enough, or it might be at an angle that makes that position really challenging. So I would say, you know, we should never do anything that causes us pain in our genitals that's unintended. So if something is not feeling right, if there's friction, if it's pinching, if you're wincing, you know, those are all moments where you just need to immediately stop what you're doing and then kind of decide what your next course of action is going to be. Do you need more mouth and fingers? Do you need lots more lube? Do you need to try some pillows or just entirely do a different position and try it again in a different context? When we intentionally induce pain, that's one thing. But again, that's a very specific kind of pain. If I'm putting a clamp on somebody's clit, that is going to be painful. But if I put a clamp on somebody's clit and it kind of gets stuck to the skin and they have that kind of like, ouchie, please make that stop, then we need to readjust the clamp. So my suggestion to you would be the first time we try almost anything, it tends to be a little bit weird or awkward because we're kind of trying to figure it out. If you want to try and do this again because you enjoyed the position or you enjoyed your husband's response to it, then try doing a couple of things that help set you up for success, like change the context, set aside more time, make sure you have a different kind of lube, you know, really take a look at your two bodies or try like a slightly modified version of that and see how it goes before then you jump into full reverse cowgirl. And the answer might just be that depending on how the two of you fit together, that might not be the best position for you. There might be lots of other options. So I love that you've been married for 13 years, together for even longer, and you were like, let's try this new thing for the first time, because that's exciting. And my hope for all of you who are listening is that you are constantly staying curious and you're constantly trying new things in a way that feels really good for you. And so I'm sorry that you had a lot of pain when you did the reverse cowgirl, but I hope that you'll kind of take a step back and look at all of the different things that were at play for that and then decide if maybe you want to try it again, but with a slightly different context or maybe with a couple of different tools, maybe adding a vibrator, maybe try him sitting instead of laying down, seeing how that works. You know, I think you have lots of different options. It's just a matter of, do you want to try again? And the other thing that I'll offer is oftentimes when we do something and the result was painful in an unwanted way, we can store that pain in our bodies. And like, I know that sounds woo-woo, but literally our muscles have memory and our bodies can tense up when we're anticipating pain or when we're remembering something that we didn't like. So I would encourage you that if you do decide to try the reverse cowgirl again, that you really make sure you've kind of thought about your experience and you've really decided that this isn't something you're going into worried about, nervous about, anxious of, because those things can cause your vulva to be less aroused, and it can also cause your vaginal canal and the muscles to get tight from that anxiety. So make sure that you do whatever you need to do, either on your own or with your husband, to just really relax into that moment and get really excited about that moment. Maybe have a couple of other positions that you do ahead of time that you know you enjoy, so that when you go to try it again, your body's not already in a place where it's getting ready to resist, because that's not going to set you up for success either. So just be gentle with yourself and approach it from a playful perspective. You know, that's true of lots of different things when it comes to sex. You know, my body, because of how I'm shaped and how I'm built, there's certain positions I just can't do. And I'm okay with that, because there's lots of things that I can do that are really hot and really pleasurable. And, you know, one of the things that Alex is really great at is finding modifications for us. So, you know, liberator ramps, or adding pillows under hips or under my knee if I'm on my side. So don't be afraid to also try some of those things and kind of see what works for you. But yeah, keep being adventurous. I think that's super, super amazing. I just want to thank all of you for listening this week. I am so excited about what's coming up next on the podcast. I've got interviews with Joellen Naughty, and we're talking all about kind of some of the downfalls of sex positive communities. I've got Elle Chase coming up. She'll be on next week. We're talking all about like fat sex and her Lady Cheeky porn site, which I'm completely addicted to and I recommend all the time to you. That's a really fun interview. I've got a couple of others actually that are in the works, and hopefully we'll get Buck Angel on the show soon. And a couple of other like really exciting names. And don't forget, because we crossed 500,000 downloads, go to sexgetsreal.com to jump in on the giveaway to celebrate that 500,000 for the Enjoy 11. I mean, where else are you going to get a score of $310 amazing? Oh my God, I'm so envious. Amazing toy. So go check out the entry. There's multiple ways to enter. One or two of them are something that you can do daily so that you can really increase your chances. And thank you so much for listening. Keep spreading the word, because when we cross 1,000,000, I'm working on scoring that 24 karat gold toy so that somebody can really take home something amazing. So this is Dawn Sarah with Sex Gets Real. I will talk to you next week. And sending hugs and kisses. Bye.